Thank you very much, Ernst Klee, for this very impressive presentation. If there are any questions, any comments on this presentation, Mr. Klee will be happy to discuss with you. I have a question. You talked about the well-known perpetrators, and my question would be, how was this received in the German population? How did they see, how did they experience, or how did they also support this euthanasia program? I mean, anti-Semitism research has shown that, particularly in the field of anti-Semitism, the ordinary German people were actually passive supporters. And my question would be, what was the case with euthanasia? What were the opinions? And this euthanasia program, as far as I know, had been stopped or interrupted, or only carried out excluding the public. But I heard that it was discontinued against the will of the German people. But I also read that this was due to the fact that those who had built the gas chambers in the psychiatric wards were transported east in order to build the concentration camps there. Now, was there a resistance among the Germans, or was there a consensus that there was life that should be destroyed? It's very easy to answer this. If I see it correctly, Hitler only carried out populist measures, and the annihilation of the Jews was part of this. With euthanasia, it's different for a very simple reason. Sterilization and euthanasia together had affected such a large number of people, and that number of people became ever larger, that every family was concerned with this or affected by this in some way. Children and young people, for example. Just to take a very different example, homosexuals were also included in euthanasia. People with psychological disorders, criminals, alcoholics, it could have touched every family. And that is why euthanasia was not popular for simple reasons. About how euthanasia was carried out, I could say a few words about this too. With the beginning of National Socialism, nothing happened in psychiatry which was not promoted by the profession itself or by other theologians, pedagogists, or whoever. Sterilization, for example, had been demanded decades ago, and the same applied to the killing. So nobody was surprised that in 1914 there were the first murders in the gas chambers. It had been demanded for long. On October 24th, 1941, the gasification of disabled and people with psychological diseases or disorders was interrupted by Hitler himself, and we know that Hadamar was really surprised by this interruption because they didn't know what are we going to do with the people. I mean, the euthanasia central even was surprised. They didn't want to stop. And I think that this had reasons because rumor had it that Russia had been attacked, and people were afraid that wounded soldiers could be killed. That And of course, an army where the soldiers assume that they would be killed if they were wounded won't fight very well. There were a few institutions that were remained active and also kept on killing patients with, for example, by starvation or using chemical drugs. But towards the end of the war, German psychiatry had basically murdered more using starvation and chemical drugs than before. I mean, institutions started murdering people that hadn't done so before. And it was found out that after the so-called liberation and the following year, only patients like refugees, new patients, people, refugees from the East, for example, were accepted. And in Berlin-Wittenau, more people were killed in that period than during the Nazi era. And if you heard that and then keep on asking questions, doing research, you will notice that this applied to a lot of institutions, that the mortality rate after the liberation was still at 50%. And there are a lot of institutions that between 1945 and 1950 or 49 don't even have any documents. Because we have to understand that murdering disabled and people with psychological disorder, nobody was forced to do so. No doctor was forced to murder them, but National Socialism just made it possible for people to do what they had always demanded. And this is exactly how you have to put this. The transfer to the East, transfer of people to the East, euthanasia as a method. I mean, you told the victims that they're photographed naked, and you tell them you go to the shower, and then they are murdered in a gas chamber that looks like showers, like a shower room. This is what happened, for example, in Belzec, Treblinka, and Sobibor, where Jews were killed. But in the case of euthanasia, they used exhaust gases from engines, combustion engines, and the staff is actually identical in both institutions. So this part of how this method of killing Jews basically came from euthanasia methods, and also there's great continuity as far as staff is concerned. I have another question on the German research society and how they assess or ignore their own past. Now, the German Research Society since 1940 has been in Steglitz in Grunewaldstraße 35, and was very generous in founding in a particular SS commissariat. And in October 1942, 30.7 million people were characterized or classified as racially undesirable. This stood in close connection with the Agricultural Institute of the Berlin University. 8 billion hours of forced labor. When do you think will this the German Research Society finally address this part of their history? Well, I am not the German Research Society. I can only say that I would like to make my contribution in order to force this society to address their past or have their past examined for the third time. It has happened twice already. Last year was the last time, and they always find out that they haven't even existed in the Third Reich. The German Research Society, I just put this very briefly, as far as the medical field is concerned, this is what I can assess best because I've read a lot of the documents. All projects of racial hygiene, racial persecution of people, concentration camp experiments were financed by them, and they also financed Mengele's experiments in Auschwitz. However, in order to embellish the past, some of the documents were just disappeared in 45 or maybe before. Ferdinand Sauerbruch, he was not only the great surgeon. I've always known him as a great surgeon, but at the same time, he was the head of the division, of the medical division of the German Research Society, and he had approved these projects. And as far as I can tell from the Sauerbruch file in 1947, he had demanded some of the files. He had his father pick them up with the giving as a reason that he needed this in order to testify in Nuremberg, and these files completely disappeared. I was very interested in the Rudin file of the German Research Society. I talked about Rudin already because he was also involved in the height tests in one of the concentration camps for the Luftwaffe, and I had hoped to find some information in those files. But however, there's only the cover of the Rudin file, which still exists. The rest is gone, and this is also one way of coping with the past, which is very popular in East Berlin. Then, after the war, files were discovered from Maximilian de Krienis. He was one of the leading psychiatrists. And our colleague in the East burned these files because he was of the opinion that there was too much information around about this chapter of medical history. And again, now there is one commission that would like to address this part of the past of the German Research Society once again. And this should be part of it. Yes, one more question. The resistance from today's point of view, if people were afraid of being involved or being affected, why is this discussion, why has this discussion come up today? Because in many countries we see that more and more people are afraid that they might be affected, that this process might continue. How do you explain this? Well, I'm probably making myself unpopular, but I'm not here to make myself popular after all. I would warn you, because what happened in 45 or before, that is the serial murdering of people. God forbid, I would not bring not establish a parallel of this between this and the euthanasia discussion in the Netherlands. I mean, it's done, but it's something different. In this case, we had a mass murder of people, and neither they themselves nor their family had ever asked for this killing. And I was really very careful in this. The perpetrators had great difficulty naming family members who had actually asked for the elimination of their disabled child. And there's one example, and I would like to see this very subjectively, and Dr. Kühnke is very impressive as an example. He gave children lethal injections, that was his task, and then he himself had a disabled child. And he was offered to have this child disposed of in this way, and he did not want this, and he stopped giving these lethal injections. I have one question. The eugenics in the Third Reich and Mengele, the secret service and churches, who went to the Secret Service, who joined churches in Latin America, with this philosophy. And I mean, I have experience with psychiatry also due to political reasons, and I have dealt with this topic. I've been concerned with this topic, and in the United States, psychiatry has taken this over, and for 5 or 10 years now, people have been changing their attitude. What would you say? I think we just have to see that this is not only the case in psychiatry. It's still the same people who do research. And I think the Nuremberg proceedings for medical doctors started in 1946. The attempt was made to punish those who perpetrated medical crimes. But then there's also a different group, particularly in the United States, those who do not want these, who are not interested in punishing the perpetrators, but in using the results of these crimes. And that is why many of the medical doctors for the Luftwaffe ended up in the United States. And they avoided processing this part of history because it would undermine confidence in re this research, public confidence.
I'm from Oldenburg, and we have a clinic on the border of the town of Oldenburg, and we also have a case there of working through the past. We have Dr. Ingo Hans there, who wrote a book, and during his research, he also worked as someone fully employed in the archive, so he had access to the archive. And one day he was asked to take a file with him, and he said, "Okay, I'll take the file." And he looked into it, and there was a request by somebody from Bremen to have access to the files because someone from his family was murdered, and there was also a reply given to him that the file didn't exist, but this request was now stapled onto the file. So we have here excellent work that's been done in terms of this work, and a former pathology room is now being refurbished in order to have a commemorative space. And this is now where euthanasia, treatment of patients in the past, is something that's now being dealt with in public. And for example, there's one person who said that her brother met with death in 1963 in this particular mental health clinic. And I had an opportunity to speak with her, and she told me that one of the care staff there, this is 1963, we mustn't forget, told her, "Well, why did you bring your brother here in the first place?" So I find this important. I mean, just listening to anyone speaking about this and hearing the stories of these children, I wonder if things that we hear of what happened today and the kind of euthanasia that is taking place even in our days. I know it can't be compared to what happened in the past, but what would you say? Because it seems that today we're dealing with healthcare reform and economy plays an increasing factor, and that maybe even today there's a certain risk that people run because of the system that has become much more elegant, and it takes place in a manner which is much more quiet, silenced, and perhaps not in the same dimension, but possibly that also many people are affected. Well, I think you have to reflect on what medicine meant in the days of the Third Reich. And it meant the absolute biologization of social and individual life in society. And it meant that the power of genes was the supreme rule, and those that have the good hereditary traits are in power, and those who don't have the poor hereditary traits are destined to extermination, and that basically you no longer need teachers, because if you had poor genes, then even a teacher couldn't help you. So I'm the example that shows you that exactly the opposite holds true. And although everyone said that this must never happen again, yet the crimes and the method of killing and sometimes the experiments will happen again once you define and select the groups from the population that become objects. Jews, Poles, Russians, and the disabled were the ones chosen and selected for these experiments. You mustn't forget always those who have already been ostracized from society. But then, on top of that, there's always an ideal vision, a goal under the heading of which all of this is perpetrated. So it is to improve on the genetic pool of society. There's an overriding aim, and that then gives you the yardstick with which to make comparisons. And then you can find the answer yourself to what extent we've reached a point where we are willing to use biology as a yardstick for social conflicts. I myself am a victim of psychiatric care in Vienna. I myself was in a closed psychiatric ward for a time, and I now have a counter expertise that was drawn up for me. And I have an experience with this of self psychiatrization, if you will, and when dealing with this situation where we have self-description of something being Nazi-like, and what would you say is the present situation, since you mentioned Vienna as one case in point? Well, here we have to ask the organizers of the event, because they're the ones involved in trying to reform or put a ban on the coercive psychiatry as it exists. I talked to someone who was very angry, and he told me, then I ask you, Mr. Clay, how would you organize psychiatric medicine? And I retorted, I answered, I can respect every psychiatrist, and I know different psychiatrists. I respect anyone who says and admits that they cannot cure a patient, and I respect those who give their patients humane treatment. That's my answer. Genetic research gives us a new level to deal with in that spiral, moving from the past to the present, and given the backdrop of what you just presented to us. Let me add, I myself am someone who's a caregiver in alternative medicine, and when we look at the whole AIDS complex and what's been researched there, then there's also interesting to see what's not been researched, because money flows in the direction of those solutions that are so mechanistic and that give rise to that old specter, namely that you can, in a mechanistic way, solve all problems of humankind, which then is a dehumanizing aspect. So this notion that the genome, the way it's talked about now in almost a propagandistic fashion, that the genome is presented in a mechanistic language, something that can easily be dealt with, but what is not researched is something completely different. And we read nothing about it. And there are other areas that we could also focus on, namely that human beings do have potential for creating certain catalyst substances, and that self-repair mechanisms exist within the human body. That would be a very different field of research. We never hear anything about this. And one could research, namely, into those factors where people do experience self-healing, but that's not researched. Increasingly, we get something else, something that the scientific community focused on more, also in the past. And here we would like more research in the social areas that make people feel healthier or less healthy. But of course we can't go into that area because research money is not available. And we would like to give a new vantage point to other fields of research, because it's interesting, for every field of research there are different angles, and I'm sure would be able to find other areas of knowledge. But again, it's research funding and this whole notion of everything is practicable, everything's feasible, that mode of thinking. And as you said, if we ever go in that direction again, it'll manifest itself differently. It'll look different. And I think we really have to start thinking about that. What can we do? Thank you. Okay, then I thank you very much for your attention.